we must revise the education system. Because
spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. Looks like during the first hour, we're going to have two separate guests. First half hour, we have When Value Trumps Health in a Supersized World. Then we're going to talk about satiety mechanisms and genetic risks of obesity. And then during the second hour, telomerase activation, a potential key modulator for human health and longevity. So before we get to that, I have to make an announcement. We have a superhuman in the audience named Allison Lewis Hirsch. And she is battling cancer, and she is also trying to be nominated for the upcoming Oaks Day Parade here in Louisville, Kentucky, the Survivors Parade. And so what I'm asking the listeners to do is to either go to the Superhuman Radio Network page or – sounds like we lost her again. I'll help you out in a second. Superhuman Radio Network page or my Facebook page. And just like, I'm sorry, and then click the link and vote for Allison Lewis Hirsch for the Oaks Day Survivors Parade. I'd appreciate that. Hold on a second. Can just run some music just for a second. Just pick something and click play.
And where mind, muscle, and body come for intense training. You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore. We'll be right back.
All right, sorry about that technical difficulty. We have a new switchboard in the studio. We're all learning here. But let's get right to it. Professor Karen Winterich, am I pronouncing that properly?
Yes, you
okay.
Got it.
Welcome to Superhuman Radio. So we want to talk about your recent paper, When Value Trumps Health in a Supersized World. This is a really important discussion. I didn't even think health came into play when people were considering supersizing something today. What made you do this study?
So it's actually an interesting story, at least I think so. A colleague and I were traveling for a conference, and we both came back separately with these, you know, jumbo-sized lattes from Starbucks. And we were both pretty health-conscious people, and we looked at each other and said, why did we just do that? Why did we get this, you know, multiple hundred-calorie pumpkin latte? And we both said, well, because it was only like 50 cents more.
Right.
Why would I not do that?
Right. And so it really does come down to value. We feel like, oh, if we can get more for the money, that's what we should do.
Yes, we suddenly put our health goals aside, even though normally we might really be concerned with our health when we're making our decisions. But when this idea of saving a dollar or a penny, that somehow takes over our goals, and suddenly we kind of forget that we care about health so much.
So what did you look at in this study to try to elucidate how people balance these types of decisions?
We started out just by giving consumers choices like they experience, you know, at the regular kind of convenience store or snack purchase. And we'd give them like a small, medium, and large size. And we would either price them using what we would call supersize pricing. So as you got a larger quantity, the price per quantity decreased. And then we'd also give a separate set of consumers that, you know, was randomly assigned to them where they had to pay per the same price per unit maintained.
Yeah, linear pricing. So in other words, if you get twice as much, you pay twice as much. If you get 50% more, you pay 50% more. So then the value is kind of lost there.
Yes, absolutely. And we saw that people were buying the smaller size whenever it was priced consistently. But whenever you took that away and you offered them that value incentive suddenly the number of people that bought the large size shot up.
That's really intriguing. So really, I mean, I know, like, Mayor Bloomberg, I was totally opposed to this whole soda size. I kind of feel like you can't legislate health. But maybe from a marketing standpoint, we can influence health, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely. Because a lot of what we found is that consumers aren't aware that they're shifting kind of their goals and their focus. It's a very temporary shift just at the moment of purchase. You know, we're very impulsive. And so while we might walk around day to day and think, I'm going to eat healthy today, I'm going to exercise today, I'm going to do all these positive things, in that moment when you're making the decision, should I get the small, medium, or large, all of a sudden you just kind of switch in that moment and think, well, this is such a great deal. Why would I pass that up? And forget that that great deal might also lead you to consume an extra 200 calories.
Now, you looked at both what are considered unhealthy and healthy foods, right?
Yes.
Was the same phenomenon apparent when people were doing it with healthy foods, things that maybe were less, what's the word I'm looking for, enticing
to eat? Less attractive
to eat. Yeah, less attractive to eat. Yeah.
Yes, we did. That was what we thought was exciting. The good news for the consumer and for marketers is that we looked at carrots and candy bars. And when you offer this value or supersized pricing, people consume and choose to purchase the larger quantity of both carrots and candy bars.
Really?
Well, on the candy bar side, you know, that's not good for the consumer, calorie, health-wise. But for carrots, that's great.
So, but here's the problem with that, right? So fast food marketers, for instance, understand that if they can sell a volume of something, they turn it over faster. It affects their bottom line because they can produce and buy better. So there's
Correct.
An advantage for them to take that. There are certain fixed costs in every transaction at a fast food restaurant. The thing that is not fixed, obviously, is the amount that they can sell you during that interaction. So that's what they shoot for. To try to create a different additional profits. We don't have the guy at the produce store with those same types of business metrics. For him, if you buy 5 carrots versus 10 carrots, he has to charge you a linear price in order to profit. There's no advantage for him to sell you 10 carrots at the price of 7, for instance.
Right. Generally speaking, yes. What we think it could make more of a difference is, you know, in a restaurant setting, when someone's, you know, choosing to buy, you know, maybe get the larger size, you can pour a half portion or a full portion. We tend to see this with, you know, sandwiches, maybe higher calorie items, but we don't tend to see it in the relatively healthier items. Say the salads, obviously not salads are healthy, but if we started to fill ourselves up because we got a better deal on that larger appetizer salad, we might be more easily convinced to take half of that high calorie entree home and eat later. We don't see those currently in place, though.
Did you find anything else that struck you as very interesting or counterintuitive when you did this? Because you did 3 separate studies, right, within the scope of this?
Yes. Yeah, we looked at a couple different snack food choices to make sure it held, you know, for beverages, milkshakes, lattes, as well as for chips and candy bars, different things like that. The other thing that we found, I believe, that's, I think, interesting, is that consumers, like I said, they're not really conscious of this happening. And so if we were able to remind consumers of their health goal, either consciously or more subconsciously, right at the time of making the decision, we could get rid of this supersize effect or choice to make the larger, more unhealthy decision.
You know, when we look at this from an evolutionary standpoint, the things that have driven us in evolution. So one of the things that has been a driving force in evolution for us was higher nutrient density at lower energy expenditures so that we could go from expending 60% and 70% of our day finding food and chewing it to lower amounts of that time to do other things with. And so, excuse me, if you know, money equals time in an aspect of if you look at it that way. So it's from an evolutionary standpoint, it's natural for us to take advantage of calorically dense foods that are convenient, require less time to obtain, but more importantly, that are a better value because that, again, we have to work less in order to get that calorically dense food. So from an evolutionary perspective, we can see why people gravitate towards this type of a thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. It makes sense. It's in our genes, like you're saying, you know, evolutionarily, to want to get those calorie-dense foods, get them at the best possible value, and at convenience. And if you look at where supersized pricing is offered, it's usually in those convenience purchase settings, you know, at the convenience store, at the drive-through fast food, you know, pop-in restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up on the other side. We're talking with Professor Karen Winterich. We're talking about when value trumps health in a supersized world. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection? Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new.
Only one testosterone booster, Mahler's Aggressive Strength, raises testicular cholesterol levels while increasing gonadotropin-releasing hormone. That, in turn, turbocharges how much testosterone you can make. In a clinical trial, this resulted in a 347% increase in testosterone, and it won't bottom out your estrogen levels either, so your libido will be in high gear. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aggressive Strength banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and get 10% off today.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay, so we're talking about maintaining some sort of health goals while living in a supersized world. with Professor Karen Winterich. So, Professor Winterich, let me ask you another question. The discovery of this information through this research, this is a very litigious country. I'm afraid that this country is built on shrugging personal responsibility at all costs. I'm concerned that someone's going to look at this and go, see, I'm obese because of the way fast food companies market, so therefore it's the fast food company's fault, and now we have a class action lawsuit from some law firm coming together. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility, that's for sure, as you said.
Well,
yeah, I don't think that it would... I think we could definitely say that there's still a personal responsibility there, you know, and we're hoping more to make consumers aware of what they are doing, but not that marketers necessarily held responsible for it.
Did you find any interesting characteristics about the people within the study groups when it comes to those who consider their health choices? I'm under the assumption that the majority of the American population really doesn't consider their health choices at all. In fact, I'm under the assumption that very few people actually think about the end stage results of many of their decisions on a day in and day out basis. Did you find any specific characteristics about some groups versus other groups in this?
We actually did. And like you said, we thought that there would be something there. We looked at a lot, you know, we looked at BMI, we looked at, you know, self-reporting of their health concerns, health consciousness, thinking that these factors would really, you know, have a big impact on either canceling out the effects, nullifying them, or increasing and strengthening them. We really didn't find them to have that much of an effect. But that said, you know, even whenever we had the supersized pricing, but we had these kind of health salience goals at the same time, it didn't wipe out all the purchase of large. And that's, I think, because you said there's people that don't care about health at all. And so it's not even an option or consideration. They don't think about that end goal that it might have on their health when they're purchasing these larger sizes.
And a lot of times they may think about their health, but, you know, speaking as a former 330-pound person on the American Death March when I turned 40, and I was very, very old. I mean, very, very, very ill at a very young age. I think that most people who realize they're making bad health decisions, they also say to themselves, I'll worry about it tomorrow. But like that song says, tomorrow never comes. So
yeah.
I think that's part of the way that they deal with it. So when people a question about eating healthy, did you notice any trends in what people think is healthy in the first place? I have this other sense that there's a lot of confusion, especially if you just watch the mainstream media as your source of information for what is healthy and nutritious. There's a lot of confusion as to what is healthy in the first place.
Yes, absolutely. And so we did look, you know, what do they consider healthy snacks? And it's all a relative case. So pretzels are considered by many to be better than potato chips, you know, lower in fat, but the calories are still there. So when we looked at truly what we considered healthy foods, we were looking at carrots, you know, those really low-calorie but nutrient-dense foods that are, generally speaking, perceived to be at least much less tasty. We believe that even for the perceptional healthy foods, you know, those pretzels that are healthier than potato chips, that we would still get the supersizing effects and it would still be detrimental to consumer health on the long term, you know, repeatedly engaging in that behavior.
Did you look at the phenotype of some of these people? Did you have people within this within the test groups that were clearly obese, for instance, and did their decisions make sense? That makes sense for this person to make that kind of a decision.
Yes. On average, we didn't look at any specific one individual, so everything was looked at over the averages. But when we did include factors like BMI, and we controlled for those in the analysis, as you'd expect, we tended to find the correlation that the higher BMI tended to lead to the larger size choice, regardless of any pricing strategy, which is consistent with what you would assume their behavior might be.
Were there any inconsistencies in what you saw in this that were truly surprising?
Over overall, looking at the averages, I think what was most shocking to us is, as related to what you asked earlier, you know, there are some people, although it might be the minority, that really have these very strong health goals, and they're very health conscious in most all of their decisions. And even those people we found could be susceptible to the supersized pricing,
yeah.
That they even let their guard down at times. You know, and it might not be as detrimental to their health overall because it's just a one-time thing. You know, they're not going to do it repeatedly. They're going to exercise a little bit longer. So it's not that that might be as detrimental to their health overall, but I was surprised. I thought that those that were really truly health conscious just wouldn't be a victim to this supersizing.
Which proves that when value comes to health choices, value trumps health, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I think would be the most surprising. Everyone can be susceptible to it.
So what do we do? Did you first of all, do you have a future study set up as a result of this? Did this create new questions that need to be answered?
It did, absolutely, to some extent. And some of it we did in the current studies. One of those big things was, you know, if we hang a poster, and we did this in one of our field studies, we actually went to a concession stand of a local wrestling match where they sell, you know, some healthy foods, apples, bananas, and also the chips and the candy bars and factors like that. And we put up signs that focus, just basically emphasized, it was in a high school, so, you know, nutritional posters were not out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And for different periods, we'd randomly hang signs in the door entering the concession stand and on the tables at the concession stand that just emphasize the importance of, you know, kind of counting calories and having a balanced diet. And when those signs were hung, we saw the proportion of small versus large bags of chips. It was higher for the small bags. The large percentage decreased just when those signs were held, hung up. And so we think that these, you know, health goals, making them more salient at the place of purchase or
right.
to consumers, you know, on their wallet, on their phone, something that can be kind of this constant reminder, hey, wait, this is my true goal here. Is this in line? No, wait, maybe it's not. Value's not that important. But we have to constantly remind ourselves of that fact or else we might get, you know, thrown off course a bit with the value idea.
So the nuances of information that surround the environment where the purchase is taking place clearly can influence the purchase is what we're seeing. What I'd love to see you do is do that same thing, but have a person enter where there are no peers around and see if they make the good decision versus when there are peers around. I wonder how much, you know, other people watching quite often, you know, and we see this, like when I was obese, I wouldn't eat the same way when people are around as when I was by myself.
Absolutely.
So it'd be interesting to see
yeah.
if those influences are just as effective when the person is in that exact environment, but there are no other witnesses to their decision.
Yeah, when it's a private, you know, there's no social interaction in the exchange or the choice or observation, they might not feel that they have to follow this socially approved behavior of eating healthy. But when someone else is watching, especially for the individual that's already obese, they feel it, oh, I have to do the socially normative, the approved, the desirable behavior. And I don't want people to think that the reason I'm obese is because I'm buying the large, right? So I'll buy small now.
Well, this is actually about 5 years ago, six years ago, I stood outside of a Kroger's in here in Louisville, Kentucky, and acted like I was taking a poll. Actually, the Kroger guy chased me away after about 20 minutes. And so as people were coming out of the store, I had a clipboard in my hand and I had a recorder, a digital recorder. Many people didn't want to be recorded, so I just asked them questions. So I asked them if they eat healthy. That was the first question. I said, do you eat healthy? And the number of people that said, yes, I eat healthy, was almost unanimous. I asked, do you have a goal to eat healthier? And quite often people said yes. At the same time, I was observing what they were pushing out in their cart from what I could see at the top of their bags. And quite often, in my estimation, what they were taking home with them was not healthy. So that made me wonder, are people confused about health, or or what healthy nutrition is, or what we have seen play out in research, that when people are allowed to personally report, you get really, really crazy information because they have this perception that they want to be viewed a certain way. So they will, you know, maybe not completely lie, but not tell the whole truth, so that people look at them and go, oh, well, see, you know, you do eat healthy. You must have a genetic problem. That's why you're 300 pounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that in your Kroger surveying, there's probably a little bit of both going on there, and that they want to, you know, they don't want to be reflected, no, I don't eat healthy at all, because you might judge them. And so they want to be doing these socially approved things. But at the same time, they probably truly believe psychologically that they are eating healthy or healthier relative to the worst possible case.
Yeah.
But they can absolutely get better because you asked them and they said, yeah, sure, I can eat healthier too. So it's a relative continuum, and that's where I think we fall in this. Well, no, I'm not eating chocolate cake for dinner every night, so clearly I'm eating healthy.
Right.
Relatively, yeah, sure.
Right. Then the person who's eating a bag of sugar right now, I'm eating healthier.
Yeah.
What do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from your research?
Oh, I really hope that it just increases awareness in general for the consumer, that we become more conscious of our decision, that we don't fall into this trap of, oh, I'll just get the large, it's cheaper, and then not realizing it, consume those extra couple hundred calories that are going to stick with us. And if we do that every day on a latte or even once a week, you know, that's going to add up. And for the clinicians, I think that it might really be able to help the consumers that are struggling with their weight and their health to realize when they're making decisions, particularly these impulsive point of purchase decisions, what are some of the triggers that might send them off course, and help them to increase the awareness of that and guide them, you know, to really focus on their goals of being healthier, so they're not derailed by this value focus. That's not important in their end goal of lifetime health.
What about the fast food industry? Would you hope that they take some sort of influence from this research?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the supersizing idea, you know, started with McDonald's kind of coining that term over a decade ago now. And I think we have, to some extent, seen less of the supersizing in the fast food restaurants, but it's still there, obviously. And I would hope that we might see potentially some of this healthier food and have supersizing used for that. So whether it's the apple slices that might have that larger size, I can get a larger size of apple slices that might fill me up and prevent me from indulging or overeating in one of the other, you know, higher calorie, lower nutrient foods.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I hope that the fast food industry takes some cues from it. But more importantly, I hope that the industries that really do produce healthy foods, like vegetables and fruits and pasture-fed. But the problem with that is they know that they don't have to give you a discount, because the people who are focusing on buying those foods are willing to pay more to begin with. You look at organics, for instance, you know what I mean? I don't think that there's a lot of hope for them to get on the supersized bandwagon or the value bandwagon. But I do think that there's opportunities for the fast food industry to take some cues from this and go, you know what? Maybe we should start, supersizing, as you point out, the salad. Do you want a small salad or a large salad? I think they only have one size salad at McDonald's, you know? So
yeah,
maybe that's a place where they can start.
Yeah, I think that would be a great starting point to try to hopefully curb this trend of the supersizing and the unhealthy, and maybe shift it over to get the benefits from the healthier food supersizing.
Great, great research. I'm sure that a lot of people find this research a slightly mundane, and a lot of people go, well, it's obvious. But you know what? Talking about it is really critical, because when you look at this type of research, we're distributing this information in more of a grassroots approach versus the commercials that bombard you day in and day out to buy bigger, larger, value-added meals every place out there. I mean, it's a losing battle. So this is really a good discussion to have. I appreciate this research very much.
Thank you.
And thanks for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Claire Llewellyn, all the way from London, as we talk about satiety mechanisms and genetic risks of obesity. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about
this? I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the H-Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The key to getting lean and staying lean is insulin control. Wild swings in blood sugar create body fat. How would you like to be able to ensure that more of your meals feed muscle and not fat? Now you can with GlycoSolve. GlycoSolve contains the most potent berberine on the market. It will shuttle glucose to muscle, not fat. Made in the USA in a GMP-certified facility. Save 10% when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to leanerliving.com today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Perfect time for a magic trick. Girl, you know it's no fun without the magic stick. Now watch me.
Welcome back. Okay. We're being joined by Dr. Claire Llewellyn to talk about satiety mechanisms and genetic risks of obesity. Welcome to the show, Dr. Llewellyn.
Thank you.
Okay, so we want to talk about this research. First of all, talk about the design of the study first.
Okay. So we were looking at how specific known obesity genes influence appetite in a very large sample of children in the UK. So we've known for many, many years that weight is quite highly genetic, mainly from family and twin studies. And very recently, what are called genome-wide association studies have started to identify some of the actual genetic variants involved. And we had a sample of 2,258 children who were 10 years old, who we had information about 28 of these obesity genes for, and we also measured appetite in these children and weight. Well, height and weight, so we were able to calculate what's called their BMI, which is body mass index, which is their weight adjusted for how tall they are. And we were interested to see how these 28 obesity-related genes, A, were related to their body mass index score, so their body weight, but also how these genes related to their appetite scores. And what we did was we calculated or created what's called a polygenic obesity risk score from the 28 genes. So for each single obesity gene, you can have a score of 0, 1, or 2. If you have a score of 0 for that gene, you carry none of the obesity risk variants. If you have a score of 1, you carry one out of possible risk variants. And if you have a score of 2, then you carry both of the obesity risk variants. So for 28 different obesity genes, you can have a maximum score of 56 or a minimum score of 0. And we used this score to see how the score related to BMI and how the score related to appetite. And the particular aspect of appetite that we were exploring was something called satiety sensitivity. And satiety sensitivity is basically how easily you fill up once you start eating and how long you remain full in between meals once you've finished eating. And obesity researchers have studied satiety for very many years, probably since the 1950s, even earlier. And we've known for many, many years that individuals who are less satiety sensitive, so they don't fill up as easily once they start eating, it takes more for them to feel full, those individuals tend to be fatter. So we were interested in trying to find out if these obesity genes are influencing weight partly through influencing satiety sensitivity. And the reason for our interest in appetite as a potential pathway for obesity genes is the fact that at the moment we live in what we call an obesogenic environment. Right. So over the last 30 years, obesity has increased rapidly in the population, but weight is still as heritable now as it was before. So we're in this sort of situation where there's this seeming paradox between both genetic and environmental determination of weight, which has puzzled a lot of researchers. And so we were wondering whether obesity genes are influencing your weight through influencing your appetite, and so allow some people to interact with the environment differently to others. So that kind of allows for weight to be both genetic and environmental at the same time. So the individuals who inherit the genes that make them less satiety sensitive, those are the individuals who are more likely to overeat in the current environment and become obese. So that's really what we were looking at in children. And what we found was that children with a higher genetic risk score for obesity, so they carried more of the obesity variants, so with scores towards the top end rather than the lower end,
right,
those children had a higher body mass index, so they had a higher body weight adjusted for their height, but they were also less satiety sensitive than the children with a lower genetic risk for obesity. And you can do this kind of statistical analysis where you can show that satiety sensitivity, what we call mediates, some of the relationship between genetic risk of obesity and weight. And that really means that satiety does appear to be on the pathway, i.e. one of the mechanisms through which obesity genes are influencing weight in children at 10 years old. So that's what our study was really looking at.
Now, you did say that this was a twin study, correct?
It was a twin study, but we didn't actually use the twinness in this particular study, but we have used the twinness in this sample many times before. So we used, I can tell you a little bit about how we use twin designs. So
yeah, because what I'm also kind of, what I'm also interested in finding out is, did you find the non responders, for lack of better terms, where one twin was obese and one wasn't, but they both had the same polymorphisms?
So we didn't actually look at that, but we could look at it. What we did in another one of our studies that was published in the same journal at the same time, so JAMA Pediatrics, so in another sample of twins, these were very, very young twins. It's a sample called Gemini in the UK. And this was a sample of twins who in whom we measured appetite at three months of age, or actually during the first 3 months of life. So we asked the mothers to rate their infant's appetite for milk, and we used a measure of satiety sensitivity again, so how easily a baby would fill up on milk, how difficult it was to complete a bottle, that kind of thing. And we also measured another dimension of appetite, which is what we call food responsiveness. So while satiety sensitivity is how easily you fill up once you start eating or feeding, food responsiveness really sort of describes how avidly an individual will respond to highly palatable food cues in the environment. So, for example, when you walk past a bakery and you can smell freshly baked bread or cakes, how kind of tempted you are to go in and get one and eat it, and how difficult you find it to control yourself when there's an unlimited amount of palatable foods available, such as buffets or Christmas. So there are very big individual differences in these sorts of traits. So some people find it incredibly easy to control themselves, and they never eat more than they need, and they're just not that interested in food. Other individuals find it a constant battle. So we were interested in measuring these traits in very, very, very young infants before any solid food had been introduced.
Wow.
So just in the exclusively milk-fed period, to see, A, are there differences between babies at that age just for milk? Can we measure them, and how influenced by genes are they? And how do they influence growth during the first few months of life? So we asked the mothers to rate both of their twins on these appetite sort of traits. And the first study we did, we found, first of all, very big individual differences in these traits, even from the first few months of life. So babies are very, very different, even for milk.
We are talking about breastfed babies, not formula, right?
We're talking about both breast and formula-fed babies. So this was a measure that was.
Did you correct for these two groups? In other words, it's well understood that formula-fed babies achieve satiety much faster and stay satisfied for longer than breastfed babies.
Yeah, we didn't actually find any differences at that age using this measure. So we didn't have to do the analysis separately, but what we did find was, through our sample, we were interested in identifying twin pairs who differed on the appetite score for satiety and food responsiveness. So regardless of whether they were bottle or breastfed, we were interested to see if the twin who was less sensitive to satiety or more food responsive at 3 months, did they grow faster between 3 months and 15 months compared to their co-twin? And we found that indeed they did. So we found a number of pairs in our sample who were what we call one standard deviation different on the measure, so quite considerably different for these appetite scores. And we tracked their growth. We have lots of different measures of weight over the first few months of life, and we were able to look at their growth trajectories. And they were very similar at 3 months, but they continued to diverge between 3 months and 15 months. And by 15 months of age, the twin who was less satiety sensitive or more food responsive was about 1 kilo heavier than their co-twin. And now that doesn't sound like a lot to you and I as adults, but actually at 15 months of age, that's about 10% of their body weight difference.
Yeah, that's significant. That's significant.
So it did indicate that appetite really is driving growth from very early on in life. And we were also able to use the twin design to look at the heritability of these traits. And heritability really refers to the extent to which individual differences are explained by genetic differences. And twins are the perfect natural experiment to do that. And the reason for that is that identical twins, who we refer to them as monozygotic twins in research, they are genetic clones of one another. So they are formed from the same zygote, which splits in half and forms two infants. And dizygotic twins, or non-identical twins, share approximately 50% of their genes. So they're no different to the average brother and sister, but the difference is that they are born at the same time, they share the same womb as the mother, they're exactly the same age. If you identify same-sex twins, they're all the same sex. So that means that you assume that the only difference between identical and non-identical twins is the fact that identical twins are twice as genetically similar. They're 100% versus 50%. So you can compare how similar your identical twins are to how similar your non-identical twins are. And the bigger the difference between them, the greater the genetic contribution to that trait. So that's what we did for these appetite scores. So we compared how similar identical twins were for satiety sensitivity and food responsiveness compared to the non-identical twins. And we found that the identical twins were considerably more similar. And so we got heritability estimates between kind of 50% and 85% for appetite at 3 months of age. And we again looked at this in the 10-year-old sample of twins. And we found appetite to be sort of between 60 and 70% heritable. So these are very, they're under strong genetic control, these appetitive characteristics. And they do seem to be, A, really driving early life growth. So hungrier babies are growing faster. And they are potentially explaining some of the relationship between genes and obesity. And that seems to be happening right from the beginning of life.
Yeah, and we have to take a break. I've got other questions for
sure.
You. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When
okay.
we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Claire Llewellyn some more about the satiety mechanisms and how they affect obesity. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
The American government loves Monsanto because if Monsanto's successful, then we will control the world because we'll have control of the food.
Listen to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. Medicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
In a world of advanced bodybuilding supplementation, the numbers don't lie. Fact, Iron Mag Labs is among the fastest growing hardcore supplement companies in the world. Fact, when it comes to no-nonsense, cutting-edge products, nobody delivers results like Iron Mag Labs. Fact, the Iron Mag Labs line of innovative formulation has set a new industry standard with products that are helping world-class bodybuilders reach levels they never thought possible. Iron Mag Labs is a proud supporter of bodybuilders everywhere. Discover the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. That's not me clearing my throat. That's him on the song. Every time I hear that, I always feel like they're going to think I'm clearing my throat. Elliot's shaking his head. We're talking with Dr. Claire Llewellyn. We're talking about satiety mechanisms and genetic risks of obesity. Later in the show, we'll be talking with Dr. Virginia Boccardi as we discuss telomerase activation, a potential key modulator for human health span and longevity. So you'll want to listen to that. So, Dr. Llewellyn, did you look at any of the hormonal effects of these polymorphisms, any of the satiety or hunger hormones?
No, we haven't yet.
Yeah, it'd be interesting
not
to see
yet,
what they affect.
A really, really, it's a really good point, and it's something that we'd very much like to do. So we have a very large sample of children, and we would very much like to look to see what are called the endophenotypes. So the first bit was looking to see what behavioral things might mediate genetic risk of obesity.
Right.
So appetite is, I suppose, quite a complex, what we call phenotype, a complex characteristic that sits on the pathway. The eating behavior itself has to be determined by biology, all sorts of underlying things. So you've kind of hit the nail on the head, really, in what we want to do next, which is to look to fill in the gap, really, between
like ghrelin,
hormone behavior,
hormones like ghrelin, leptin, and so on and so forth. Exactly.
Polypeptide YY, cholecystokinin, and leptin is also of great interest to us. The kind of the satiety hormone produced by adipose tissue,
and
so
muscle.
They're definitely things that we're interested in. Rachel Batterham from UCLH produced a very interesting paper earlier this year, which showed that individuals with two obesity risk versions of what's called the FTO gene, which is the fat mass and obesity associated gene, which was actually the very first common genetic variant to be discovered in relation to obesity in 2007. So if you carry two high-risk copies of the FTO gene, you're on average 3 kilos heavier than someone who carries two low-risk versions. Mm. And someone who carries one low-risk, one high-risk is about 1.5 kilos, sits in the middle. And she had a very elegant study and showed that a sample of young, healthy men who were matched for their body mass index, so their body weight adjusted their height, she compared the reward responses in the brain and some ghrelin to in the high risk group to the low risk group, and found that the sample of young men who carried two high risk versions of the FTO gene had more pronounced reward responses in the brain to food than the sample of low risk participants. So that again is indicating that these obesity risk genes do seem to have some kind of appetitive pathway. And you can measure that by measuring eating behavior, sort of satiety sensitivity, food reward, and you can even now show it using functional magnetic resonance imaging in the brain. We're very interested in really trying to link all the biology bits together with the behavior to understand what's happening from the gene expression level through sort of hormonal and neurotransmitter processes, which ultimately determine behavior. And the other interesting thing, of course, is how does the environment impact on all of these things? So if you take your high-risk individuals and you put them in one environment, how do they eat? How do they respond to that environment in terms of their eating behavior compared to a different sort of food environment? So do they overeat on all sorts of food, or is it just very palatable food? That's the kind of thing
at. We only have a few minutes left in this interview, but the one other question I wanted to see if we could work in and just kind of get just the top line summary answer. Did you look at the parents? We understand now that sometimes through epigenetic changes, the child interprets their environment that they're being introduced to, and they change in the womb. Do we know if the parents had these same polymorphisms that we observed in these children?
Really good point. We don't have DNA for the parents, unfortunately. That would be a very, very interesting thing to look at, because the mothers who are at high genetic risk of obesity may gain slightly more weight, for example, during pregnancy. They may start their pregnancy at a higher weight, and we know that maternal weight and maternal weight gain in pregnancy influences the birth weight of the child and can potentially influence the development of the appetite control centers in the brain. This just hasn't been looked at yet, but it would be extremely interesting to do that, definitely, and to map it onto appetite.
It's great research.
Epigenetic.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
No, go ahead. Finish what you were going to say about epigenetics. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, epigenetics is a very kind of hot topic at the moment. And identical twins are, in many ways, an ideal sample to look at the effects of epigenetic changes in, because they're completely matched for their genes. So they are genetic clones of each other. So if you find epigenetic differences that correspond to phenotypic differences such as weight, then it's much more straightforward to make a direct link between that epigenetic effect and the phenotype. Because if you look at epigenetic effects in unrelated individuals, they have so many different genes. It's very difficult to tease apart the genetic effects from the epigenetic effects.
Yeah, virtually has no meaning at all unless you're looking at twins to understand epigenetics.
You can do it in unrelated individuals. Absolutely you can. But the identical twins give you, I guess, kind of like your perfect match control. So you can keep the genetic blueprint constant and simply focus on the epigenetic differences between them. So it's quite a neat design to do that. We're hoping to do that in Gemini. And there's someone called Professor Tim Spector at King's College London. He's got a very large sample of twins, adult twins, called Twin DK, and he's done lots of very impressive work on epigenetic effects using monozygotic twins in that sample.
Okay. Listen, I want to thank you so much, Dr. Llewellyn, for making time to come on the show today. This is wonderful research, and I commend you for doing this.
Thank you for taking time to speak to me.
Sure, take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Virginia Boccardi on, all the way from Italy, to talk about telomerase activation, a potential key modulator for human health span and longevity. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier, and I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhumans.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching, muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937. Or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
It's new, it's cutting edge, and it's custom made to get you to Gainesville. The Blueprint Meteoric is here. Meteoric is the final frontier for drug-free athletes. Includes brand new breakthrough information about triphasic energy system training and macronutrient cycling. Specifically designed to transform your physique and record time. For a limited time, get the Blueprint Meteoric for free, along with the legendary add 1 inch to your upper arms in a single workout when you subscribe to the Blueprint Bulletin. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Blueprint banner ad.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. A couple announcements I want to make before we start the next interview. Don't forget to download the Superhuman Radio Network app for your iPhone and iPad at the Apple Store or for your Android at Google Play. It's free. You'll be able to manage the podcast, stream the live show, interact with the show and the website. Go to your choice of Google Play or the Apple iStore and get the Superhuman Radio Network app. Also, this Friday, we will announce the winner of 4 boxes of Quest protein bars. To enter, you just have to go to facebook.com/ Superhuman Radio Network fan page like the Superhuman Radio Network fan page. And you are entered. If you've already done that, you're already entered. So don't worry. We'll announce that on Casual Friday, the winner. We're joined now from all the way from Italy by Dr. Virginia Bacardi. How you doing, Dr. Bacardi?
Fine, thanks.
This is a really good discussion. We've talked about telomerase and telomeres on this show for a very, very long time. And there is lots of different camps of thought out there, so to speak, about the influences of telomerase. So talk about your research. How was this research designed?
Well, we did a review. This is just a mini review of telomerase activation. I described the most important recent evidence in the last years, which show how the telomerase can be a potential key modulator for human heart span and longevity. So what I did is just to do a review in the literature, and I write down this paper.
Okay, so this was a meta-analysis, basically, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just a mini review.
Yeah. Okay, so what did you find? First of all, did you find any direct link to telomerase activation and longer telomeres? Because that's obviously the reason that people want telomerase activation, right?
Right, right. Well, there are many evidence in the literature about the telomerase. In particular, it has been shown that, as we know, this enzyme is a ribonucleoprotein enzyme, which adds at the very end of our chromosome. So at the telomeres, the nucleotide that we can lose at each cell division. And most importantly, in the last years, have been published some observational studies, in particular in humans, and where it has been shown that the telomeres can be activated by different mechanisms, for example, with the drug, like the TA65, for example, or just with a modification in our diet, for example, with the Mediterranean diet, and we published this paper. And what we show is that the activation of telomeres, so higher telomerase activity in our white blood cells are associated, is associated with longer telomeres. And in particular, in one of our papers, we show that subjects using Mediterranean diet, so high adherence to Mediterranean diet, they have not only longer telomere, but also an higher telomerase activation, which correlates with the health status. So this is the most important finding among humans, what I think.
Okay. But, let me ask you a question. So the the Mediterranean diet influences telomerase activation. As you pointed out, TA65 is basically a highly concentrated form of the astragalocytes that are found in Astragalus membranaceus, which is a root herb that is used by many cultures today. There's also evidence that intense exercise increases telomerase activation. Did you see that research as well?
Yes, this is an important study that we show that the lifestyle modification is associated with an activation of telomerase in our white blood cells. And in particular, this study has been conducted in a woman, and it has been shown that telomerase activity increased up to 18% with a reduction of eating, intervention, and the exercise, so body exercise, over 3 months, of course.
Did the research provide any evidence of what amount of telomerase activation needs to be achieved in order to have either to mitigate the shortening of the telomeres or actually increase their length? So you said 18% in this one study. What should people be shooting for if you were able to quantify the things that you're doing for an elevation in telomerase to have a meaningful effect?
This we don't know right now. So we know that the exercise or diet is associated with an increase in telomerase activity, but we cannot really state how and how many we can elongate the telomeres. In fact, only longitudinal study, so we need an observational study of years and years to show how many telomere attrition we can reduce with the increase in telomeres. So these already, we really don't know yet.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, along with the Mediterranean diet, there's some evidence that intermittent fasting or every other day fasting increases some other indicators of longevity like sirtuins and also seems to reduce metabolic debris in the cell by influencing autophagy. Is there any evidence that telomerase is increased when someone is using one of these every other day fasting or intermittent fasting or even very, very low caloric intake diets?
There is an evidence, if I'm not wrong, by Maria Blasco and the Spain Institute. They show that caloric restriction and the use of a TA65, so this is a supplement which increases the telomerase activation, is associated with the longer telomeres. But with the sirtuin now, I did not report any evidence about this.
I hear you say TA65 a bit here. Was did the folks at TA65 fund this study by any chance?
Sorry?
Did the company that makes TA65 fund your research?
No, we have no conflict of interest, okay. And nobody supported us.
Okay. Now, the only reason I ask you that is because TA65 is a highly refined form of astragalus membranaceous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually only the astragalocytes, and there's recent research that the glucanosides in astragalus also influence telomerase activation, which would make one think that the use of the herb astragalus is something that people can do to help influence telomerase activation. I hear you saying TA65. I don't hear you saying astragalus at all.
No. I said TA65 because these are the evidence which I find in PubMed when I did my research to write this mini review. And what I want to say is just that if we put in Google research telomerase, we have tons of information. Instead, when we go on PubMed, the only information on telomerase activators, I only found these two papers based from the Spanish lab on TA65, and we have only two studies published in among humans, which they show that with this supplement, people get a telomere longer as well as a better health status. But there are very few evidence. So,
gotcha.
This is why I always talk about TA65.
Yeah, no, and I understand. They actually used to be a sponsor on this show, and I used their product for quite some time. But now I just use large doses of a very, very high quality astragalus today because it's the entire root, if you will, with everything that's in there, and it's a lot cheaper than TA65 as well. So
this is very interesting also because here, I mean, in Europe or in Italy, nobody knows about this compound. I'm one of the first person that I'm talking about this, and I'm really interested to this. When I go on the website or on Google, I see that in U.S. many people are already using this compound.
Yes.
Instead, nobody knows here in Italy, also between geriatric. I'm a geriatric, so, and here we now don't have so much information about this compound, and nobody is taking this drug.
They don't need TA65 in Italy because Italian people are beautiful and young no matter what they do. Look at
this is true.
I'm Italian. I understand that. So there, you don't need TA65.
Another thing that we show, this is important, is that a Mediterranean diet can increase telomerase activity. So we believe that we can induce this activity just eat well, better, like we already do.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the Mediterranean diet, if you were able to find any reason that the Mediterranean diet is so effective. We're talking right now with Dr. Virginia Boccardi. We're talking about telomerase activation, a potential key modulator for human health and lifespan. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget that companies like Monsanto have gone to countries where the agricultural industry is suffering and said if you grow GM crops, your farmers will have an easier time growing and it will be cheaper for them to grow and they will do better with it. And that has not happened.
He's pointing out Monsanto's lies one at a time.
Not to mention you have to pay for your seeds every single year. You can't collect your own seeds and regrow. And those seeds are expensive. Roundup is expensive. The pesticides are expensive. And you use more and more and more. And now, to add insult to injury, you don't even end up with more bushels per acre after all of your misery.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio. Weekdays at noon.
Superhumans using Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder are experiencing dramatic improvements in strength, performance, recovery, and endurance. Benefits that cannot be duplicated by any other supplement. Percova Extra Edge Colostrum Powder will take your game to another level. If you already know how great Percova Extra Edge Colostrum is, you could purchase 4 jars of Extra Edge Colostrum Powder for $200. Use coupon code SHR2. See the Percova banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge
page banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Virginia Boccardi. We're talking about telomerase activation. So the Mediterranean diet seems to influence telomerase activation. Are you able to identify what it is about the Mediterranean diet that actually has this effect?
With our study, you mean? With the Mediterranean
diet? Yeah, from the meta-analysis that you looked at, were you able to extrapolate, oh, well, that's why the Mediterranean diet improves telomerase?
Luckily, we were not able to do this because we use a Mediterranean diet questionnaire. So we ask people what they did each day and for the weeks, for example, about meat, about bread and olive oil. But we were not able to analyze its component of the diet. But what we believe also refers to many other studies that have been published on the Mediterranean diet is just the complete diet, which may improve the telomerase activity. Mm. But now, we can really tell which component of this diet.
Now, the research that you provided indicates that telomerase activation is primarily sought out within the anti-aging community as an influence in longevity. But your research shows that it also influences health as well, right?
Yes, of course. In fact, as we report in this mini review, what is important of telomerase is doesn't elongate all the telomeres, but also is associated with an healthier phenotype in not only in animal models, like has been shown in mice, but also in human. In particular, what I want to stress out are the results from Maria Blaska lab, where they induced the telomerase activation with two different approach, one in a cancer-resistant mice and another one with the gene therapy, and they were able to increase the telomerase expression, especially in the second study with the gene therapy, and the animal did not get cancer. And what is most important is that the median lifespan was extended, but also a healthy phenotype, in particular a lower incidence of insulin resistance, as well as a better cognitive performance and a lower incidence of osteoporosis in that mice. And if I'm not wrong, also in the two published paper about the telomerase activator among humans also show that the TA65 improve healthy phenotype in human, and in particular the skin and the cognitive performance, and also other metabolic parameters like insulin sensitivity.
You know,
so this is really important.
It's interesting that you discuss this, because one of the quoted negative potential effects of telomerase activation amongst
yes.
the those out there who don't like telomerase activation,
yes.
and one of them that he's been a guest on the show a couple times, he's a wonderful guy, Dr. Aubrey de Grey, who really he postulated the mitochondrial theory of aging. You know, he says, oh, you don't want to increase telomerase because it will lead to cancer. And those of us on this side who believe in, I'm a firm believer in telomerase activation. We say, look, those on that side, they cite that cancer cells become immortal by increasing telomerase. And I say, yes, it's not the telomerase that causes the cancer cell. A cancer cell is going into an evolutionary programmed position that of survival, and it turns everything on to survive. So you can't say telomerase is bad because cancer cells thrive on it, because they thrive on a lot of good things, including oxygen in some cases.
Yes, yes. What I want to say is that it's true that cancer cells express telomerase. This is true. But it's not true that expressing telomerase causes cells to become cancerous.
Right.
I mean, this relationship is explained by different paper, in particular from Wright in 2011. In this study, they show that inducing the activation of telomerase in lab animals, they used to introduce the telomerase in the DNA, and there are no studies that in the lab studies, to my knowledge, in which activating the native telomerase has increased the risk of cancer. This has been only shown in the primary paper when they induce the expression of the telomerase randomly in the chromosome, which we know that tampering with the structure of the DNA in this way can be a mechanism of a cancer induction.
Right.
And another thing is that the modern point of view, and my point of view, is that the telomerase don't drive the oncogenic process. In fact, is required only when a cancer initiates. Then the telomerase induces the cells to divide and become immortal. So this also has been shown by the Spanish lab of Blasco, which focused on the potential for telomerase to decrease cancer risk. So this is important also to know. In fact, it has been demonstrated that the accumulation of short and very short telomeres may induce cancer. Instead, we
right.
know that telomerase is activated always on short
telomeres. There's a lot of evidence that when the gene gets mutated, that's when
exactly.
it can become cancer. And if you keep the telomeres long, the gene never gets mutated. It stays intact.
Exactly, exactly.
So, okay, so now, looking at the immune system for a moment and telomerase activation's implications in health, there are a couple good studies out of Japan, I believe, that look at autoimmune deficiency syndrome, AIDS. And they point to the fact that the reason a person develops AIDS is because the immune system is revved up or made to work faster and faster. So there's a faster turnover of cells. And as a result of this, you accelerate the shortening of the telomeres of the immune system cells to the point where the DNA can no longer replicate and you lose functional immune systems. And they are experimenting with success there with a drug that actually increases telomerase activation. It's a drug. I can't think of the name. We talked about it about a year ago, talked about it on the show. And what they find is that when you increase telomerase activation in people who have AIDS, it improves their outcomes dramatically because the immune system starts to function again. So is this the one way that telomerase activation influences health, or is there other ways that it influences health as well?
I think think this is a way, but the another way for sure is that the telomerase repairing the short telomeres induce a proliferation also in other tissue, especially in the skin. This is why the use of a telomeres is always associated with the best skin elasticity as well as mm-hmm. a cognitive performance over the use of insulin resistance, because it induces the repair the telomere, the short telomeres, and prevent a cell to become senescent. In fact, we know that the accumulation of senescent cells in the tissue as well as in the organ and the organism in total is related to aging. So this is how I think that the telomeres work, reducing the cellular senescence.
Yeah, interesting. Very, very interesting. So what do you hope that clinicians take away from your research, Dr. Boccardi? What do you hope that doctors, scientists, clinicians get from your research? What do you hope that they learn from your research?
I'm a geriatric, so we know that the life expectancy around the world is sharply increasing, and in particular in Italy, as you know, Italy, Germany, we are the population with a higher percentage of age people, and in particular with aging, we know that also we have a higher age-related disease, such as diabetes and cognitive decline. And what I want to, I hope with this paper, is the importance of the telomere length and with these disease. And the identification of a pathway which can regulate longevity is critical for development of strategy to increase lifespan, but in particular to improve the health span. And the potential effect of telomeres is just this, because we don't want to just live longer. We want to live longer, but in health. And with the telomeres activation in mouse, this has been shown. So the mouse lifespan was increased, but also the health future of the mouse were increased.
We're going to take one more commercial break, Dr. Boccardi.
Yes.
So just stay with
okay.
us through the break, and then we'll wrap up the interview. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Previously on Superhuman Radio.
So these people, they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, your cholesterol is kind of high, and you fall into this group here, and under the new guidelines, we need to prescribe you a statin drug. And the person doesn't go, I don't want a statin drug. They don't even go, let me look into it, doc, before you write that prescription. They don't say anything. They go, oh, okay, and they take it.
Carl gives advice about how to talk to your doctor.
And what other area of your life do you take what someone else says that's selling you a service for gospel truth? You pull into the mechanic, and you know all you need is your tire change. And the mechanic says, but you also need a complete engine overhaul. And you go, all right, what's it going to cost? $3,000. Okay, I guess you got to do it. No, you go, I don't need an engine overhaul. Just change my tire so I can get out of here. But no one talks to their doctors like that.
Keep listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore, weekdays at noon.
The key to getting lean and staying lean is insulin control. Wild swings in blood sugar create body fat. How would you like to be able to ensure that more of your meals feed muscle and not fat? Now you can with GlycoSolve. GlycoSolve contains the most potent berberine on the market. It will shuttle glucose to muscle, not fat. Made in the USA in a GMP-certified facility. Save 10% when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to leanerliving.com today. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 25-pound bag of Pure Whey Isolate for only $187. That's Whey Isolate for $7 a pound. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SUPERHUMAN today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
I don't know.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
We're talking with Dr. Virginia Boccardi, joining us all the way from beautiful Italy. I wish I was where you are and you were where I am, Dr. Boccardi.
Yeah.
So was there any research that showed that telomerase activation actually lengthened, improved the length? Because I know a lot of the research shows that telomerase activation can keep the telomeres from getting shorter. But was there any research that showed that telomerase activation actually increased the length and almost reversed cellular senescence, if you will?
No, I think, especially in human, I don't think we have this kind of a paper. But the one I want to tell you is our paper of the last year, where we showed that the use of statin can induce the telomerase activation. It is associated with a lower telomere attrition. But again, we don't know about the telomere length. This only longitudinal study can tell us this, especially in human, and they are very difficult to do at the moment because we have to study a group of people now, and then we have to look in 20, 30 years at least to see a difference. We can study very easily telomerase change in our white blood cells since it changes in over 3 months, so it's very easy. But to study a difference in the length of the telomeres, we need years of study.
Yeah.
So I think at the moment we still can do this kind of research,
so,
at least among humans.
Have you become interested personally in telomerase activation as a result of your research?
Yeah, I'm really interested in this topic, of course.
May I ask how old you are?
I'm 30 years.
How old?
30 years old.
5'0"?
3'0".
Oh, you're young, so you have a lot of time. Yeah, I'm 55. I'm very interested in this, obviously, because I want to stay around as long as I can. And so that's one of the reasons that telomerase activation has always been important to me.
Yeah, I'm really interested, but of course what I want is that we have to get older because, like a physician tell us, nothing is forever. So we have to get old and we have to die,
right.
We know, no? But the most important thing is that we have to live longer but in health, so we don't like a cognitive decline among people. We think about Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, diabetes. These are very difficult condition, a health condition that we don't want to get in our life. So telomeres can be one of the ways the activation of this enzyme can reduce the incidence of this disease. Maybe. We still don't know, really, but I think this is a promising mechanism.
We can be very, very hopeful about it. Well, I want to thank you very much for making time to come on the show and talk about your research today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
You gave me this opportunity.
Yes, pleasure. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, so stay tuned. We're going to run one last commercial break, and I'll come back and wrap up the show.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching, muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. You know, Dr. Virginia, what's her last name again? Bocardi, sorry. Thank you. She kept invoking the name of Dr. Maria Blasco. Dr. Maria Blasco has been a guest on this show. The last time she was on the show, she did the Nine Hallmarks of Aging, which is show 1243, if you want to go back and listen to that. It was a really great show. I want to thank all of my guests today. And, of course, Professor Karen Winterich for coming on and talking about when value is pushed up against health, people choose value time and time again, which is evidence in the supersized world. Also, satiety mechanisms and genetic risk obesity with Dr. Claire Llewellyn. And then, of course, my last guest, Dr. Virginia Bacardi, and talking about telomerase activation. Hopefully it's made people more interested or re-interested in you in the idea of making sure that telomerase is on the rise and not on the drop in your life. As always, thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces...